Our scripture reading today is taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, reading to chapter 3, verse 4. Let us hear God's holy word. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And now the next four verses form our text. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Thus far the reading of the word of God. Dear friends, have you ever lost something very valuable? Maybe it was a piece of jewelry or some money or a keepsake. And you searched high and low. You retraced your steps several times to when you know you last had it. You called several people to see if they came across it. You searched and searched until one day it just sort of popped up out of nowhere. Well, something like this is going on in our text. A young woman known as the Shulamite is asleep. Suddenly she wakes up, but the one whom she loves is not there. So she sets out to find him. At first her search was unsuccessful, but eventually she found him. And when she did not let him go. Some commentators have interpreted the Song of Solomon as a poem celebrating human love. And there is, of course, some truth to this. The Song of Solomon is a poem celebrating human love, but it's more than that. It's also a poem that describes the love of Christ for his church and the love of the church for Christ. And as such, it has much to teach us about how the Lord works in the hearts of his people. With this in mind and the help of the Lord, let's meditate together on the words of our text under the theme, The Shulamite Seeks for Her Beloved. We'll consider, first of all, the loss she experienced, secondly, the search she initiated, and thirdly, the reward she received. It was the middle of the night. A young woman known as the Shulamite was lying on her bed fast asleep. Suddenly, she wakes up. And why she woke up, we do not know. Perhaps she was startled by a noise. Perhaps it was cold and she simply wanted to pull the covers over her. Whatever the case, she awoke. And no sooner did she wake up than she discovered something very disturbing. Her beloved was not there. Needless to say, she was confused by this. He was beside her only a few hours ago. But now he was gone, without a word of explanation. And the questions began to multiply. Where did he go? And why did he leave her? She did not know. And so it troubled her. Why did this trouble her? Well, because she was deeply in love with her beloved. You notice how she describes him. She does not refer to him merely by his name. She refers to him in much more intimate terms. She refers to him as him whom my soul loveth. So it is the one whom her soul loved who was no longer with her. He was gone. Now, sometimes the believer in Christ can experience something similar in his or her relationship with Christ. Child of God, when you first came to know the Lord, you were full of love for him, were you not? You delighted in him. He was everything you needed. You desired nothing else besides him. But after a while, this gradually faded away. God, at times suddenly, without warning even, withdrew, leaving you feeling empty and alone. Now, to be sure, God never completely abandons his people, for they are graven in the palm of his hand. Jesus said that he holds each one of his children in his hand, and no one can snatch them from there. But he does sometimes withdraw a sense of his presence from them. Now, why does he do this? Why does Christ sometimes withdraw a sense of his love and presence from his people? Well, there could be several reasons for this. Sometimes Christ withdraws from his people because they refuse to confess and repent of sin. David is a good example of this, and he writes about this in Psalm 32. In that psalm, David describes how he felt before he made confession of his sin before God. He says that his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. He says day and night God's hand was heavy upon him. His moisture was turned to the drought of summer, until he acknowledged his sin unto the Lord. And then David says the Lord forgave him his sin, and he was restored to fellowship and communion with him. Sometimes God withdraws from his people because they become careless and lazy. When they do not persevere in reading and meditating on the scriptures, when they leave off praying, when they do not attend the worship services faithfully, and when they do attend, they don't listen attentively and prayerfully to the preaching. When they do not strive to put sin to death and to walk in the ways of the Lord. When they allow their love for God and for his people and for his word to grow cold. When this happens, God withdraws. Sometimes God withdraws from his people so that they will value him more. It's often being said that you never know how valuable something is until you no longer have it. And God knows this. And that may be why he hides his face from us, so that we may realize how precious he is and to value him more than we ever have before. Well, my friends, what about you? How is your relationship to God today? How would you describe it? Do you feel close to him? Or do you feel that he is very far away? And if so, why is that? Could it be for one of the reasons that I have just suggested? Or could it be for another reason that is known only to you and to God? Well, whatever the case may be, you know that you are not where you should be spiritually. And if you know that, what should you do about that? Well, you need to do what the Shulamite did. You must search for him with all of your heart. And that leads us to our second point. No sooner did the Shulamite discover that her beloved was gone than she began to search for him. First, she searched for him on her bed. By night, she says, on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now this, of course, made perfect sense. The last time the Shulamite felt the presence of her beloved was in her bed, and therefore it only made sense to begin her search there. And so that's what she did. She searched for him on her bed. She felt for him under the covers. She looked for him in the room. She called out his name in the darkness, but still she did not find him. I sought him, she says, but I found him not. So then what did she do? Well, we might think that she would have given up her search and gone back to sleep. After all, it was the middle of the night. And maybe he could not sleep, and he just stepped outside for some fresh air. Maybe he went to the kitchen to get something to eat. Maybe he had some important business to attend to. He was a king, after all. But she did no such thing. She missed her beloved. So much so that she resolved to go out and look for him. She's recorded in verse 2 as saying this, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. So the Shulamite here resolves to leave the warmth and comfort of her bed and of her home, and to go out into the cold night air, to walk up and down the streets and the alleyways of the city in order to find her beloved. Now that was no small matter. Many things could happen to her. She could be robbed, or worse. What is more, for a young woman to be out in the streets of a city in the middle of the night was socially unacceptable. What would people say? A young woman walking the streets unaccompanied at night. Imagine the rumors that would go around the next day. But none of that seemed to matter to her. She wanted her beloved. And she was prepared to do anything and go anywhere and make any sacrifice in order to find him. Now, dear friends, we can learn something from this Shulamite. Sometimes, child of God, you complain that you do not feel close to the Lord. You did once when you came to faith in him. Oh, then you had such a peace and joy, it was almost overwhelming. But that was a long time ago. And now everything seems so dark and so lonely. Oh, yes, you continue to make use of the means of grace. You're reading your Bible, and you're praying every day, and you're attending the worship services faithfully, and you're partaking of the sacraments, all in the hope that one day the Lord might reveal himself to you again. But so far he has not. He seems to be so far away from you. Well, what should you do about that? Well, you must do as the Shulamite did. You must search for him. And you must search for him until you have found him. But let me ask you, are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do whatever it takes and go wherever is required in order to find God? Oh yes, you may be prepared to search for him in the warmth and comfort of your bed. You may be prepared to seek him if it does not inconvenience you too much, if it does not involve too much of your time or too much of your effort, if it does not require you to make too many sacrifices and too many changes. But are you prepared to seek him in the streets? Are you prepared to go the extra mile, to do whatever it takes in order to find him? And what about those of you who are not saved? You know that you have to seek the Lord. But how are you seeking him? Are you seeking him with your whole heart? Is this your first priority in life? Are you prepared to make any sacrifice in order to find him? Or are you demanding that he meet you on your terms? Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What he meant was this: if we want to follow the Lord, we must seek him with all of our heart. We must be prepared to do anything, go anywhere, make any sacrifice without regret, without looking back. And if we're not prepared to do that, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. The Shulamite therefore searched for her beloved. And what was the result of this search? Did she find him? Well, we might think so, but alas, she did not. She walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem. She asked everyone she met, "Have you seen my beloved?" But in the end, she still did not find him. Now, this should not surprise us. The scriptures teach that one can seek the Lord with all of his or her heart and yet not find him, at least not right away. Job experienced this. In Job 23, verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." David expresses the same sentiment in Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my crying? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. And we think of the words of Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they say continually unto me, Where is thy God?" And there are many other examples of this. The point is, we can search for God. We can even cry out to him, like the Syrophoenician woman who begged the Lord Jesus time and time again, "Son of David, help me." And sometimes Jesus is nowhere to be found. Sometimes he hides himself from us. At least that's how it appears to us. And such was the case with this young woman. She searched diligently for the Lord. She went up and down the streets. She looked in every alley and on every street corner. And still she could not find him. And then suddenly she was found by the watchman. Now the watchmen were men, usually soldiers, who were employed by the government to patrol the streets of a city at night. They were also to watch out for potential invaders, which is why they were often positioned on the city walls. And if they found such invaders, they were to sound the alarm. Well, how happy the Shulamite must have been to have been found by these watchmen. If anyone would know the whereabouts of her beloved, surely it would be the watchmen. And so she asked them, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Notice again how she refers to her beloved. She does not refer to him by name, but rather she refers to him by what he means to her. "Him whom my soul loveth." She wanted to know if during the course of the night they had seen him, and if so, to tell her where he could be found. But again she was disappointed. They had not seen him, and therefore they could not tell her where he could be found. Now again, one might think that at a long last the Shulamite would give up her search. After all, if the watchman did not know where her beloved was to be found, then what was the point of continuing to search? Then she might as well give up. But notice she does no such thing. She keeps on searching. And for this search, she was richly rewarded. And that brings us to our third and final point. Not long after the Shulamite spoke to the watchman, she found the one whom she had been searching for. We read in verse 4, "It was but a little that I passed from them," that is from the watchman, "but I found him whom my soul loveth." Oh, what joy must have filled her heart. She found the one for whom she had been searching. Just when she was at her rope's end, just when she was ready to give up, all of a sudden, there he was. We learn here that although the child of God may search long and hard for Christ, eventually they will find him, or rather, he will be found of them. And that's entirely accord with the teaching of Scripture. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, we read these words, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Isaiah in Isaiah 45, verse 19 says, "I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." Lamentations 3, verse 25, Jeremiah writes, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And in Matthew 7, verse 7, we read these words, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Yes, those who seek the Lord will find him. Oh, perhaps not right away, but they will find him. Such was the case here as well. The Shulamite sought the Lord with all of her heart, and eventually she found him. And when she did not let him go. She says in verse 4, "I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." The Shulamite was so happy to find her beloved that she refused to let him go. She was so determined to keep him that she brought him into her mother's house. Well, such is the experience of every child of God who finds the Lord Jesus Christ. When he finds him, he does not let him go. And why is that? Because Christ is everything the believer needs. He is peace and joy and life. As long as the believer has Christ, he does not need or desire anything else. The child of God who finds Jesus is like Mary Magdalene on Easter morning. Remember the story. Mary and some other women had come to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And when they discovered that the stone had been rolled away and that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb, Mary ran back to the city to tell Peter and John, who promptly came to verify the story. And when Peter and John left, Mary remained behind, weeping with sorrow. Sometime later, the Lord Jesus came to her and asked her why she was weeping. And she, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus, moved with compassion, said, "Mary." And immediately Mary knew it was Jesus. And turning around, she said, "Rabboni, my Lord, my Master." And she embraced him. She held him so tightly and for so long that Jesus had to say to her, "Touch me not, Mary." And the meaning is, "Do not cling to me, Mary, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Why did Mary cling to Jesus? Because he was everything she needed and everything she desired. As long as she had him, she had everything. Oh, my friend, is that true for you today? What do you desire most in life? Is it the Lord? Is the Lord everything you need and everything you desire? Oh, perhaps for some of you hearing this sermon, this is not the case. You find satisfaction in many other things. You find satisfaction and pleasure in the world and the things of the world. God and Christ, they mean nothing to you. You may be a faithful churchgoer. You may attend church every Sunday. You may do everything that you're supposed to do, but your heart isn't in it. You're just going through the motions. My friend, you don't know what you're missing. The world and everything in it cannot bring you lasting satisfaction, nor can it meet your most fundamental need. Only Christ can do that. And therefore I say to you, go to him. Seek for him. And he will be found by you, as he has promised. And that same message comes to you also, child of God, today. Are you experiencing communion and fellowship with God in Christ? Or is the Lord far and distant from you? Oh, if so, take example from the Shulamite. Seek for him. Seek for him in your bed. Seek for him in your home. Seek for him in the streets, in the alleyways, on the walls, even outside of the walls if you have to. But seek for him. Call out for him. And keep calling and keep on seeking until you have found him. And when you have found him, never let him go. Oh, will you do that today? Oh, may God grant that all of us may seek this Savior with all of our heart. And having sought him, that we may also find him. For there is no greater joy, no greater happiness than to find Christ and to live in him and with him to all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you are blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can most certainly do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.